Hey everyone! Before we get started, I just want to let you know that your input can directly make our shows better. One of the biggest ways to support your favorite shows here is by rating and commenting on iTunes. All of our shows are available in Apple Podcast form on iTunes, and all you have to do is search for AfterBuzz and your favorite show title. Once you're there, leave the show a rating and a comment on why you like the show or any comments you have for the hosts. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope to continue to bring you the best shows we possibly can.
Hey there, AfterBuzzers! This is Supergirl, Season 3, Episode 9, Rain! Stay tuned!
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV! And now, let the buzz begin!
Hello! Aw, oh, yeah! Taking those tunes, baby. This was a recommendation from Fitty Elfier on Twitter, and I think it was really fitting. Thank you for joining us here on AfterBuzz TV. If you have a chance, please hit that thumbs up and like what we're doing. I am your host, Tari J. Miller. I'm joined by three amazing panelists. Stephanie Winger.
Hi, guys. Good to be back with you all. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Stephanie Winger.
Joelle Monique.
Hey, guys. I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique and every week at blackgirlnerds.com.
Lucretia Lyon.
I'm Lucretia Lyon, guys. You can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet since there is only one.
Yeah. You can find me at Tori J. T-O-R-I-J-Y. So, guys. Guys, we had such a fun Christmas special. So happy holidays. I want to start with that. And we got to have a little Christmas party at Kara's house where the gang all got together, got a little drunk, had a little fun. And it was technically John's dad's first Christmas.
It was adorable.
It was, and he enjoys hot cocoa and ornaments. Making him my new favorite character.
And Hall & Oates.
I mean, he's gonna like Hall & Oates by the end. I thought that there were a lot of really cute moments in this scene, which I feel like was their way of starting light so that we can just kind of skirt into that darkness later in the episode. But I feel like my biggest takeaway from it was Sam talking about Lena and Jimmy getting together.
We finally see the chemistry come to light. Mm-hmm. We're confronting them about their love for or lust for one another. I don't know what it is yet. Like, I want to say love because, you know, I believe in it. But also, maybe it's just lust. And I'm okay with that, too. I don't want to judge them.
So you're saying you believe in a thing called love?
I do. Well,
do you listen
believe
to the rhythm of your heart?
Love.
Sometimes.
Okay.
I have arrhythmia, so it's not always right.
I mean, I really liked that we got a kind of Nancy Drew mystery with them. They were basically trying to hunt down the source of all these symbols.
Yes.
And they were working together and finally were working together.
Ah.
A wink, a wink, a wink.
They make such a good team. Yeah. And now I'm just so excited to see where it goes in the second half of the season.
I love when she's like, I'll protect you. Like, that was adorable, that little exchange.
Yeah, sweet. Yeah. And we got to see Jimmy use his shield again, which we haven't really seen in a long time, which is nice. And I like that when they're kind of investigating together, they're also... I don't want to say challenging each other, but it's just nice to see that they have each other's back and to know that they could potentially have storylines that are just their own, like, from both a business perspective and, like, a sleuthing perspective, which is nice.
Yeah, they are definitely equals, but not professionally, guys. Do you think that Lena being his boss is going to cause some issues?
I feel like yes, but not the stereotypical, like, my girlfriend makes more money than me and I feel emasculated kind of way.
Right.
I think it'll be more like they'll have a disagreement about the best way to tell a story or what needs to go on the front page to sell newspapers, like a legitimate disagreement.
Yeah, and I would agree, especially considering Jimmy's other love interest was Supergirl herself. He's definitely not going to have those issues of like, oh, she's more powerful than me in this way. It's like, he obviously doesn't care.
Right.
It's going to be more along like Jimmy is a very professional guy who, you know, thinks he's right in the way that he does, and I feel like that will be where they differ, you know, more so in the butting heads than, you know, feeling inadequate.
Yeah, I definitely think it's going to be like a conflict of interest more than a power struggle. I would like it if essentially once they get together, all of the stories at CatCo are like fluff pieces about like love and puppies and things, because he's like really blinded by his love.
I don't think that's gonna happen. No. I think that they're gonna still go after the story. Sorry, Tari.
Come on, guys. I just want more CatCo stories about puppies and love.
I just want beautiful like mixed babies. I just want them to get married already, have a family, be the family unit on the show, because the show is desperately missing like the young kid, like, oh, how will we get the kids to school on time and solve this crime? But I want it.
Well, we kind of have that with Sam, Rain, and we might have it again by the end of the season when Alex takes over for Ruby.
I kind of feel like that was like very obvious as to what was happening. It's like, oh wow, they are laying this on.
I'm gonna go take your kid and we're gonna just hang out and be best friends.
And it was from scene number one. It felt like very like, I know they've had scenes in previous episodes, but it was just like in this episode you were just like, oh, you're gonna go off with her and be like a mother figure. Oh, you're gonna tell her all Supergirl's like little things that she's done for you. Okay. Like, we're clear on where that's heading.
I mean, and even if it wasn't heading that way, I do like that scene in that we really get a sense of how much Alex wants to be a mom.
Oh, yeah.
And this is probably this is kind of the only kid on the show. And so, like, this is the only time that she gets to really hang out with someone young and be doting and the cool, like, aunt/mom
Alex.
Figure.
Totally. Yeah. I like it because that was what... Oh, my God. The chick that is Rain, but her
Sam.
Regular
Sam.
Name. Yeah. That's what Sam wanted in the first place. Like, a couple of episodes ago, we get like, oh, it's so great that she's, like, aunts now. And, like, we have people and we're not homeless. This is lovely. And so if something happens to Rain, we don't know what's going to happen yet. Is she destroyed by Supergirl? Or does she completely lose Sam and 100% become Rain? Which looks like that could also potentially be a possibility. It's nice to know that the intentions Sam had for her daughter will be able to be upheld within the group.
Yeah. So there was someone who was distinctly missing from this party. And I will, and it was Mon-El and Imra.
Mm-hmm. They had stuff.
They should not
do.
Be there.
Yeah.
It's like going to your ex's wedding. Like, just why would you put yourself through that?
I mean, I feel like it's different, though.
No, how is it different? There's booze. There's a whole bunch of, like, family and colleagues and stuff, people that are intimately connected with the person. And then you have to watch the person that you, like, formerly loved, like, canoodling with other people. Like, it's just a lot.
I understand what you're saying, but I feel like at a wedding, that's the end of any relationship you're going to have.
Have you been to a Christmas party? Christmas party is the definition of ends of relationships.
Well, is it?
I mean, Kiefer Sutherland in that tree had a very loving relationship in that TMZ video I saw. Watch it, guys. That'll be your favorite moment from 24.
I have to agree with Stephanie that I feel like Christmas parties are the beginning of relationships.
Yeah.
Or the beginning of relations.
Yeah, that's usually what happens at Christmas parties is everybody gets a little tipsy.
Yeah.
And then transpires.
They could be high drama, for sure.
That's true.
But I don't know. I think in this case, I think what we're getting at in the show is that Mon-El and Kara are not finished, right? Like, this is certainly...
Where are you picking up that vibe?
Okay.
I might have missed it.
So...
I can explain it, but...
No, do it.
Okay. Well, I think... So we're seeing them be like, you know what, you're hurting me, but they're still talking. If she was really done, it would be done. And they're still... communicating.
Here's why I disagree with that, only because Mon-El says, can you get us back home? As in, like, 10,000 years from right now.
Do you really think he's going to end up going back home?
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, no. It is not happening.
Oh, see, I'm 100%. He is not going back home.
He's married. What?
Okay.
Marriage.
Well, that's why she is going to die, because this is the CW, and that is what happens. Is conveniently people die or go away or turn evil so that our couples can come together.
You mean Imra's gonna die?
Yeah.
Oh, got it.
Imra's gonna die. Yeah, they're not gonna kill Kara.
Yeah. Giovanni Pena.
I was like, why would they kill Kara?
I mean,
Giovanni Pena in the chat says, no, she said she looks, he looks at her with no love in his eyes. No love. Zero. Yeah.
Well, that's exactly. But this is the C freaking W. No. There is always love. Love is everywhere on this network.
I just feel like the story is not done.
Yeah. That's, oh, it's not.
It's not. That story has not wrapped up, and it's not like he's flying back and she's staying. No, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, I'm not laughing at you. Havoc 6 says, like, oh, he's got a time thing. He can just go back and forth. You have an interdimensional, like, affair?
That's
messy as hell.
Cisco dates that. A woman on another Earth, and then we have Sarah banging everyone through time on Legends of Tomorrow. So,
yeah,
like,
but she's like.
Yeah, but it's like if they had kids together in the past, that means that like their descendants will be growing up while he's also having relations
it's
in the
messy.
Future.
Yeah.
That's a real complicated situation. Yes. That's a relationship status you do not want to have.
Can I tell you, Giovanni?
Can I tell you guys what I want? Or like what I think of this relationship?
Please do.
I really like this idea of Kara having to interact with Mon-El and his wife because it expedites the process of her moving on.
Oh, yes.
We could have spent this whole season with her wallowing in her love and her forlorn love for Mon-El. But now she has to deal with it head on, and he's definitely trying to make things right, and by make things right, just like make sure that they are okay, which forces her to have to confront her own feelings instead of having an echo chamber in her head of being like, what would have happened between us? It's like, no, he's here, he's moved on, now it's time for you to do the same. I mean, would
for
I
now.
Like them to make out? Sure. would I like them to get another Mon-El from another Earth and be like, yo, son, and by another Earth, I mean another dimension.
I was going to say, I was like, we're not on the Flash.
but we could be. You know, he comes through and he's like, I have a longer beard and I'm Mon-El now. And she's like, I'm into it.
I mean, they have great chemistry, so I'd be totally, I would legitimately be okay if Barry and Kara got together.
Yeah, and that's my thing, is if Mon-El is anything like Harrison Wells, if there's more him on other Earths, then bring him on. Like,
that's
they're
true.
All mm-hmm. freaking charming, and we need more of them.
Yeah.
Well, and Brainiac is coming, right?
Yeah.
Can we presume?
I don't know.
I predict Brainiac's coming, and she's going to get over this.
You're talking about Brainiac 5?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Or James Marsters again. Oh, speaking of, kudos to Family Guy for that deep cut Smallville joke at the end of the episode last night. If you guys watch it, you'll know what I'm talking about. I really commend them for that.
Dope.
Yeah.
You should have another show about a different show. Yeah.
Hey, it was kind of like in what I was saying. You know, guys, mind is like a Family Guy episode if you haven't noticed
that's
that.
That's true. Yeah. We just cut away.
You watch all the TV.
Exactly.
You know all the things.
It's speaking of deep cuts, you know what helps us cut real, what cuts real deep in our hearts? It's when you go on iTunes and you leave a review. So if you go on DCTV Weekly, which is the new umbrella that all of the DCTV CW shows are under, and you leave a comment and a 5-star rating, we read them here on the show, bro. If you love us, we love you back, bro. All you gotta do is tell us you love us, and we'll say, I know, bro.
We're hipster Han Solos.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how we do it.
I love it.
Yeah, and if you're watching on iTunes, or if you're watching on YouTube, make sure to hit that thumbs up so that people know that you like it. You like it. Ooh. Ow. Pachow chow. Cacao.
What is happening over there?
Bringing up Smallville on Family Guy was weird, but now you're just making noises.
No? This is how I promote our show. This is how our show gets to the top of the charts. They're like, ka-ka-ka-chow. Thumbs up! Thumbs up!
I hope all of our comments are just Coco Ka-Chow.
Guys, all of it.
Just Coco Ka-Chow.
Coco Ka-Chow.
That's how we say I love you in Supergirl.
Yes. It's Kryptonian.
For Ral's sake, Coco Ka-Chow.
You know, when you see the symbol burnt into the grass, it means Coco Ka-chow. And it's weird because when we're presented with these marks of the beast, Kara's computer can't translate it, but we all know what it means. Coco Ka-chow. Man. Dope segue, Tari. Thanks.
I just like that it's so off the rails. It's just
No. I brought it all the way back. I flipped the switch and then the train just like started coming back. And just, have you played that game Snake where you gotta avoid your own tail? I did it. I won. Anyways. Yeah, but yes, let's talk about how dope the rain symbol is.
Could it be Satan? I'm sorry, you said church lady.
So the screaming skulls.
You said church lady, and I went with the most obvious church lady bit, and then I realized it didn't hit with everyone because that's from like 1994. Stop looking at me.
I was bored.
Lucretia. Yeah. Okay, so the screaming skull thing was really dope.
Yes.
I like that when Kara talks to her mother computer thingy, it's like, look, before recorded history, we don't know about that, which I find suspect.
Yes. I actually really found the like, world-building Krypton stuff really interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Because, essentially, it sounds like, at a certain point, all of the elders on Krypton were like, we're going to expunge any history we don't like. Which, there was a man on Earth who tried to do that, and it was bad.
Yes. Wait, which man are you referring to?
I'm referring to Hitler.
He did try to do that. He burned a lot of books.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He was all about eradicating all history of specific groups of people.
Yeah.
Jews and homosexuals and black people and anyone who wasn't blonde-haired and blue-eyed, Aryan and all that stuff. You guys know. You know history.
You know Hitler. Yeah. He was around.
So it kind of paints Krypton in an interesting gray light. Which they did a little bit in the first season where they're like, Krypton's not as cool as you think it is. Mm. And then now we're getting a little bit more of that world building.
Okay, but riddle me this, Tari.
I can tell you,
how does that guy have more knowledge about Krypton than the thing that, like, 28 universes knows all the things of? It's what?
They explained it in that he was going around finding Kryptonian artifacts.
On Earth.
And then he also met a priestess who had the oral history of Krypton.
So priestess we never met, though.
No.
Yeah, to our knowledge.
This is conflicting and confused. I have so many questions. Is he of this time? Is he from a different Earth?
No!
How old is he? Like,
he's a regular dude.
Who happens to be Rob Lowe's brother.
All right, think of him as the Indiana Jones of Kryptonian cults. You know, like, you imagine he went on an adventure, found all these artifacts, and was like, aha, this is the ancient pre-Rao god prophecy.
Okay, but, like, my problem is, how is all of this Kryptonian knowledge on Earth, but Supergirl and Superman don't know jack about it?
I would like to think that, and this is all speculation, I'd like to think that Krypton had been sending stuff here for, like, millennia.
Okay.
Or even that when Krypton blew up, a bunch of stuff just, like, flew to Earth following all the debris and garbage that went with, like, Fort Ross and all the capsules. Because you have to remember that Fort Ross was in the Phantom Zone.
Right.
Which was essentially the garbage receptacle of Krypton.
It's true.
Like, they were like, anything we hate, we're going to send to the Phantom Zone. So when Fort Ross came through,
it's like Cracktown or Hamsterdam in The Wire.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've only seen two seasons. But it's just like that.
Well, Cracktown was an invention by my own mother her solution to our problems, but Hamsterdam was The Wire's.
Got it.
Yeah.
So essentially all that garbage and debris also came with Fort Ross, and he gathered it up and was like, sweet. Or it's like that episode of Doctor Who where the man ran into there was a Gallifreyan history thingy that blasted him in the face, which made him think he was the Doctor because it had all of the Gallifreyan history inside of it. So he could have also been, you know, hit by a Kryptonian history cube.
Okay. I am going to just suspend my disbelief for a minute and just roll with the punches. But I hope that when we get the source of the knowledge, it is a good payoff. Because as of right now, I'm like, this is just, it feels rather convenient.
Okay. I mean, yes. Maybe a little bit.
And a lot of people are making notes about Professor Swan in Smallville, like, and that's sort of like a similar character that knew a lot, even though he wasn't from Krypton, because, you know, he was a professor and was really interested in research this stuff, so it could be similar.
Gotcha.
And just tying back in my Family Guy bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Speaking of bits, I feel like this would be a good time to jump to a word from our sponsor.
Hey guys.
Hi. Hey.
This episode's been a lot about history and talking about things about history, so I got to tell you about history's critically acclaimed series Vikings. Hey, it premiered with a 2-hour season premiere on November 29th at 9 p.m., and it's on weekly, so check it out. Season 5 begins with Ivar the Boneless asserting his leadership over the great heathen army while Lagertha reigns as Queen of Kattegat. If this doesn't make sense, bear with me, because it's really good stuff, and if you watch the show, it's actually, like, super important stuff to know. Ivar's murder of his brother Sigurd sets the stage for vicious battles to come on as Ragnar's sons plot their next move for avenging their father's death. Again, guys, just enter the lair of the seer if you dare. Ready your ears for a full-on 3D audio immersion of Prophecies of the Seer. Beware, the audio series is not for the faint of heart. You'll be transported to the world of Vikings, where the seer shares God's wishes for the new season. Don't forget, headphones are required for the full 3D audio impact. So you get a little bit about the series, and then they have this cool thing online where you can check out called Prophecies of the Seer. It's really cool. Again, that's history.com/the seer for that. Again, Jonathan Rhys-Meyers joins the cast. Yeah, Bishop Heath Mun this season. And season 5 is 10 episodes, so we already had the 2-hour season premiere, so there's 9 more you guys can catch. And it is the critically acclaimed series from creator and soul writer Michael Hirst, Academy Award winning film Elizabeth, and the Emmy and Golden Globe nominated series The Tudors. So, like, The Tudors was, like, so iconic, guys. You, gotta, you know that Vikings is baller.
And not have Superman without The Tudors.
So, again, who will rise in the return of history's hit drama series Vikings? It premiered November 29th at 9 p.m., but check it out. There's 9 more episodes to go, guys.
Nice. Mm. Thank you, History, for sponsoring this episode.
Appreciate it, y'all.
Yeah. So speaking of history, we find that there is an ancient prophecy on Krypton. Essentially, it talks about 3 phases. The mark of the beast, which is the rain symbol. The works of the beast, which is what the beast will do. And then the reign of the beast, in which they take over the world as the world killer. Mm. And so we seem to have gotten the first 2 phases with Rain, a.k.a. Sam.
She works quickly. Mm.
Yes. So it seems... So the last time we dealt with Rain, it seemed like she was going to be taken over forever. But it seems like her personality is intermingled with the Rain personality.
We're definitely seeing switches, I feel like, between them, and you see this kind of notion of her being able to kind of jump into that Rain in a way similar to Supergirl.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's interesting, and also not very satisfying at this point. I guess I kind of like the way Ruby is getting to experience this. I thought certainly that Rain would be the dominant personality, and then Ruby would just be like left alone, and she would be like struggling with herself for a minute, trying to figure out how to survive, and then she would come across the her aunts, and then they would kind of deal with her. But to see like Rain slowly slipping away is kind of terrifying because, I mean, Ruby's a kid and she isn't perfect, and Rain's all about expunging sin from the world, so it'll be interesting to see if she goes after her own kid with her little twitchy fingers.
I don't think she'll necessarily go after Ruby, but I think that may be a phase 3 situation, that Ruby will be left alone more, and that's where kind of Alex will step in.
Mm. Well, and 2, just before the crossover in the episode, we see Sam going into and talking to them, and they, you know, her people, or however we call it, the evil Kryptonians, will, you know, think that Ruby is a distraction. So that's what always worried me about her. But after the scene with Alex, I'm like, well, maybe she's not going to die, but just be left out of this whole situation. And then we completely obliterate the Sam personality instead. And that's what I see is happening, is that we're getting rid of Sam and Rain will be there. And then Ruby will just be left alone, because killing a kid's pretty dark.
I just don't feel like that's where Supergirl is going to take it.
Well, there definitely seems to be a connection thing, which we kind of mentioned previously. We get this nice scene this week where she's like, you know, we're stronger together. That's what the symbol means. Perhaps when we come back, we'll see that Ruby's able to pull her mom out of the Rain states and bring her back to Sam. I have a feeling Ruby's going to be Rain's undoing. I'm not quite sure how, but the kid is the unforeseen part. I still predict that she's going to be the final solution to everything.
Yeah, because I do
that
feel
was
like
a poor choice of words. Yeah. I'm so sorry, guys. I think that she will be the thing to take down Rain.
Yeah, that is her weakness. And even though, like, kryptonite would obviously be her weakness too, in theory, that I think that we have to have something more inventive of that. And usually, well, it's just like in Buffy, like in season 6 when Willow went all crazy, like you still had to use the person that matters most to her, Xander, like, to bring her out of that. Like, and that's what I feel like Ruby will be the key to bringing, you know, Sam back and defeating the villain more, because love conquers all. That's what this network's all about, right, y'all?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, well, love, guys. Sorry, I just...
Did you not believe in it? You laughed at it like,
I know,
love.
I was like...
Sorry, guys, I was thinking about love and puppy articles at Catco.
Yeah.
That's all, coming full circle.
I know.
Guys, it's amazing. It'll be so good. But in terms of Rain, it seems like... So, we finally get a full view of the Rain costume, and we see her methodology in that when she attacks the 1-7 gang... she essentially beats them up like Batman and then incinerates them for the most part. And I feel like her outfit is very, like, Dark Knight-ish. And so I feel like we're getting kind of a Batman v Superman thing going, where their ideologies are different.
Yeah.
They do seem to want the same thing.
Right.
We do get a Batman takes out Superman thing. But in Batman v Superman, he takes out Superman because he's too powerful. Like, I don't know what you could do. You're essentially a god among men, and right now you're fighting for them, but I don't trust you. I don't know if that will always be your objective. I'm curious as to why Rain wants to take out Supergirl.
So in, I mean, but in not like Batman v Superman, but Batman, I forget the, like, Batman Returns when he fights Superman. It's more of... that, like, Superman is an agent of the American government, and the American government is cracking down on vigilantes, and so, essentially, like, Batman's form of justice isn't accepted in the world as it is, and so they have to fight in order to, basically, it comes down to them having to fight because Batman has to be taken out. And so I feel like that is, it's more akin to that fight in that, or you could also equate it to being like the Punisher versus Daredevil, in that, Rain is willing to kill, and she feels like those who aren't, those who don't follow the rules or those who are, evil aren't worthy of life. Whereas Supergirl feels like everyone's worthy of life and should be protected no matter how bad they are.
Okay, I see that.
Yeah. So I like that we're getting this kind of aspect to it. Do you guys feel like it was earned, this fight that they had?
I feel like we didn't have enough build-up to Rain's issue with Supergirl. We've only had a few flashes of their Kryptonian, like, prophecy. But I feel like we didn't get enough of Rain's point of view. Like, I do get it in the way that you're explaining, and that's what I thought, too, is very much like Batman v Superman, or, like, the original Batman versus Superman fights in the comics. But because I have that knowledge.
Right.
People who don't have that knowledge might be a little confused.
Yeah. I feel like it's... It's just kind of, I wish I knew Rain more.
Yeah.
Like, I wish I saw her, like, the drug bust is kind of obvious, you know, and it's something everyone can get behind. Like, we don't want drugs on the street. We don't want people hurt. This is gangs. Like, not a lot of good things happening in here. It'd be great to see her in more of a gray territory where, you know, maybe it's somebody is, like, just yelling at a person, which can be awful and traumatizing, but certainly not worthy of death. You know, I think most people would say, but maybe for Rain, it's like, nope, sin, you've hurt somebody, like, you have to die. Like, it would be great to know, like, how far she's willing to take it and against whom, so that maybe there's a little more fear there. I'd also like to know a little bit more about how Sam is being personally affected by Rain. Like, we know that she's working a lot, and it seems like, obviously, some of that time she's actually being Rain and going around and bringing this sigil, but, like I guess I don't understand why the show is still hiding her so much. Like, it's weird to me. Like, we've known Rain is coming for a long time. We're now fully introduced and acquainted with Rain. Why not show her, like, actively seeking out people or actively doing the burning? Like, it just still seems like they're trying to, like, make her move in the shadows. But that's weird to me.
I feel like they wanted it to feel like a mystery. Like they wanted us to question if she was actually the one being Rain. And then I think they really wanted the big reveal of the costume and things of that sort. Because, like, when we get that drug bust, the way that they shoot it is almost first-person perspective.
Yeah.
So you just see her essentially zipping around, throwing people about. And I feel like that was the intent, was to make it more menacing and to make us question if what we think is true is true.
It just felt so much less menacing because I didn't see any, like, really good blows land. I didn't get a sense of, like, physical pain or willingness to hurt people or even, like, a cold efficiency of it. It was just, like, there's something missing about her character that makes me connect with why she's doing what she's doing.
Well, and two, as I see, you know, especially in the chat here, nobody seems to agree on Rain's objective. And that's what's interesting to me is everybody has theories, but no one seems to agree, even based on, you know, those of us with comic knowledge. And that's what's kind of jarring with this episode, and to if none of us seem to agree on what's going on here, what is the plan?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that is what they're probably going to explore in the second half of the season. I kind of, to what you said, pointing at Joel, for those listening, I would have liked if our first interaction with Supergirl and Rain was them both trying to thwart the same crime and then butting heads that way, as opposed to essentially Rain doing her symbols and then Supergirl calling her out.
Right.
Which I feel like is less Supergirl-like. Yeah. Supergirl's, yeah.
I hope we get more of that in the second half, though, that they go kind of really, like, fight against each other, and that to me is going to be where it gets interesting, because they obviously have such different moral compasses that you're really getting into an interesting story, where tonight I felt like we were just getting a taste of what's to come.
Yeah. Speaking of their fight, like, what did you guys think about the actual fight between Rain and Supergirl? It was, to me, it harkened back to the death of Superman.
Because a lot of people alluding to that Supergirl may die at the end of the season because Rain is her doomsday.
Right.
Kind of going along with the Batman v Superman stuff we're seeing, but I don't see them doing that. I mean, because even if we do have this big time gap and then she's fine, we already did that in the movies, and they're so adamant that we don't do the same thing. So, yeah.
I liked the fight visually, cinematically. I liked the kind of tension that was built into it. Again, so many questions. Is Supergirl bleeding because Rain is just super strong and she is able to produce that? Or is there something about her that's wearing down Supergirl's powers? I feel like that wasn't made very clear. I have, like, a small, like, super nerdy pet peeve about the scene, which is, like, okay, Supergirl can fly. Now, if her powers are diminished and, like, that's why when she's dropped, you know, she doesn't save herself, okay, cool. And the fall was shot really well. Like, there's a lot of tension in there. You're like, is Superman gonna fly out of somewhere? Is she gonna fly herself? Or is she just gonna crash? You don't know until it happens. But I still feel like as Rain, I would have been like, we need to take this up several more stories. Like, this is an indestructible, like, being. Like, drop her from just outside Earth's atmosphere or something. Like, it just seems like a 10-story fall is not going to be it. Especially after saying, I'm going to kill you.
Right.
Like, not staying to finish the job or and not being thwarted from completing the job makes her waking up in the hot. It's just weird.
But I also have to say that I felt like it was one of the few times we've seen Supergirl really in danger.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it, oftentimes on this show, it's kind of like a half danger. And this felt like really something terrible could happen. I feel like it's one of the few times we've seen her be hurt in a real way. And that hospital scene, by the way, like, the whole team was there treating her, which made me giggle.
And two, I mean, the thing is Supergirl's whole arc in Crisis on Earth X was about her being human. That's been the arc of this entire season.
Thank you.
This is her, like, showing that she is human. And Havoc6280 in the chat brings up a good point. I think Mon-El knows more than he's saying, and I think that they actually came to save Kara.
That would be great. Awesome. Yeah. That would be the story that I would... Yes, that please.
yeah.
Because the thing is, like... So, okay, Lucretia, are you saying that because she was beaten and bloody, that was, like, a human reveal?
Or? Well, no, I just mean that this... You know, it's not, like, a literal human. It is that she is not immortal. She is, you know, human in the sense of, like... She bleeds. She's vulnerable. She has feelings. And that's the whole arc of the season.
And see, I thought that's what we were going to harp up a lot more in this mid-season finale of, like, you need to make a clear decision. Like, I honestly thought, because... Alex tells her right before you go, like, I need you to be Kryptonian. I need you to be hard and unfeeling in order to get through this because I'm scared for you. Okay, great. I thought from there we were going to get a Supergirl who was, like, trying her best not to be human. And then at the end was like, you know what? Being human makes me stronger and better. Like, the things I got from Earth make me a better fighter. The fact that I love, the fact that I hurt, it's all valuable. But instead... We just got, like, the physical components of being human, which didn't really hit me. I didn't get the human aspects. Like, I felt that that storyline was like, I guess we'll pick that up later
right.
when we come back.
I would say, just before we jump to predictions, that I think that you are waiting for the, like, full season arc.
Maybe.
And, like, this is her... being, I guess, alien and failing at that. So she needs to spend the next season, or the next half of the season, reconciling between the two. But we'll find out if you guys think that she can in predictions!
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Okay, like, seriously, we have the Legion of Freaking Superheroes. I had to say it.
We do.
No. Yes.
They're amazing.
In the next episode preview, we get the Legion rings. Supergirl's in a vat, and Rain's still causing havoc. What do you guys think is going to happen either in the mid-season premiere or for the rest of the season?
I think it would be wicked crazy brave if they did not bring Supergirl back until the very end of the first episode. If they make, like, Legion and then the DOJ, like, they're the ones, like, trying to solve it, but they really need Supergirl, and maybe Superman comes in to assist, but he's not as strong as Supergirl, and they're like, we need Supergirl! But what I think will happen is Supergirl will be, like, up and about and, like, in recovery, and everyone will be like, please don't go out there. Please. We're, like, we're handling it. Like, you need to recover. And then, like, maybe midway through, she's like, I'm Supergirl and I have to go and fight crime because that's what I do. Which is not bad. I do hope we get more of the human storyline because I'm excited about... I want her to embrace the humanness. And I guess because binging is now such a huge thing for TV shows, I'm like, get to it! Like, I want to see the part where you embrace your humanness. And I need to be patient because I know the Supergirl writers are going to give me what I want eventually. I just have to be patient.
Yeah. What do you think, Lucretia or Stephanie?
Yeah, Giovanni Pena brings up a good point in the chat about Laura Vandervoort coming back as, you know, their version of Brainiac, which would be interesting.
Ooh.
I can see that. And then, too, because we do have the Legion of Superheroes, that would make sense. I mean, and James Marsters is already on a Marvel show, so he couldn't come back as his Brainiac.
Right.
Yeah, I'm just really interested, going back to kind of what I said at the top of the show, Mon-El and how that's going to play out with Kara. I don't see that. I feel like it's going to be rocky for a bit, but ultimately they will come back together, sorry, to his wife.
Or they'll make it work. They're like, in the future, we just do polyamorous relationships. Like, that's just what we do.
I could see the CW going for that.
Yeah, totally. They're like, this is how it works in the future. Everyone's together.
I can't see Supergirl going for that.
No, but I also just love Supergirl and Mon-El together. So I think that's part of it, is that I'm such a cheerleader for that relationship.
Carmimra?
Carmel.
Anyways, okay. And I think that last scene that we got with Rain twitching her fingers and turning around was her murdering Ruby. And so we're going to come back in the second season at Ruby's funeral.
That makes me really sad. I hope that's not true.
I think
the cleanest way to kill a kid off this CW show, though, if that's the direction we need to go. It would be, like, off screen. You get kind of the sense, because it's like a smash cut. And we were all kind of looking at each other at the end, like, how is this? What are they saying to us right now in this moment? So maybe that's it.
That Ruby's dead. And she was her last connection to the human world. And now she can be Rain and Rain only. she's going to make the pain rain.
I think Alex protects Ruby.
Yeah, that's how I'm like. I'm pretty sure Ruby's fine. Just by those Alex moments. I'm like, that was
designed to break Alex.
Yeah, it was designed to make us really like Ruby.
Oh, you mean like they did with Firestorm?
Yeah. We're not ready.
All right, before we start spoiling other shows.
Yeah.
I'm going to wrap this up, baby. Thanks for joining us here on AfterBuzz TV. Make sure to like and subscribe to get this in your feeds. And make sure to follow us here on AfterBuzz TV every Monday at 10 o'clock.
Starting again on January 15th.
January 15th. But try to keep up with us on our social medias in the interim. Where can they find you, Stephanie Winger?
You can find me at Stephanie Winger all over the internet.
Hey guys, I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique and every week at blackgirlnerds.com. Check my Instagram page for all the Star Wars news.
And I'm Lucretia Lyon, guys. You can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one. And if you are watching all of the finales this week, watch the Legends of Tomorrow finale. And then me here at 10 p.m. tomorrow talking about the Legends of Tomorrow panel with hopefully Lex Michael. Hopefully. And then also the Supernatural after show is on Sunday, guys. That'll be the mid-season finale as well. That is also at 9 p.m. plus Horror TV Weekly. Please watch us. That's actually where we discuss Lucifer with Tom Welling. More Smallville jokes.
Nice.
Yeah.
And you can find me at Tari J. You can find me at D-R-I-J-A-Y. Also, my other podcast, Missing Out with Lex Michael.
And
bye.
I'm on there. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Cuckoo ka-chow!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.